It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. It's a beautiful fall afternoon. Hello, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome into the latest edition of Kabali and Mac. Kaboom, literally just walked in his house after the long drive back from Cincinnati. Welcome home, Kaboom. Sounds like you had a wonderful time driving to Ohio and back in the last 24 hours. How are you, my friend? Did you sleep at all after that abomination?
I slept 3 hours, about 2:30 to 5:30-ish.
Good work by you.
And yesterday was miserable. Daisy. Yesterday, miserable. Driving there, I was up probably 21 straight hours. I'm a little dragging.
Yeah,
I had to keep like smacking myself in the face driving home.
Do you have the windows down and the AC turned up?
At that point, nothing works.
My God,
nothing.
Well, you've made it. Everybody has been patiently waiting. We've been having fun in the chat on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Once we get to 3,018 followers, someone is going to have their name pulled and they'll get their choice of an autographed Will Howard Steelers helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. Thanks as well to Southwest Greens for supporting the show. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized is not real grass, but it acts, looks, all of it like real grass. We've talked a lot about grass on this show for the last week, but they do a great job. They'll make your yard look beautiful, whether you want the whole yard done, just a little corner, maybe something around the kids' playset, something around the pool, whatever it is. Good for the family, good for the pets, good for you because you spend less time, money, and maintenance on taking care of your lawn. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We appreciate them supporting the show here on Kabali and Mac. That was just a defensive disaster last night, Kaboom. I don't know what else to say about it, but it was a disaster. They had no answers for what the Bengals did on offense. Flacco carved them up. Chase Brown carved them up. Everything worked for Cincinnati on offense. Nothing worked for the Steelers on defense.
Yeah. It probably everything where they came into the game thinking they wanted to do and how they prepared for this game and the players they got in the off season to be able to combat this just either didn't work. They aren't as good as maybe they were advertised, or maybe you just chalk it up to being Flacco'd. I don't know, but everything did not work whatsoever. How many times do we have to hear about people being out of gaps? I mean, I've been hearing it for 15, 20 years now. You can't allow a guy that's been averaging 30 yards rushing per game to pop off a couple 30-yard runs and have over 100 yards. And I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming everybody in the chat and everybody who watched the game just kept saying right before the snap, I think they're going to throw a slant to Ja'Marr Chase. And it was over and over and over again. And the funny thing about that is they switched to that. That wasn't the initial plan. If you looked early in that game, Chase was not really covering. I mean, Ramsey was not really covering Chase. Then they decided to switch and have him watch him one-on-one, and that didn't help either. I mean, there was just no adjustments. I think they were afraid to get beaten over the top by some of these guys. It's just a total disaster, yet they were still
in it at the end somehow.
60 seconds away from winning that game.
What struck me is I think they over-adjusted. I think they once they saw they were going to get beat by Chase in man coverage all night, they went to a little too much zone. They went a little too soft and really had none of the creative pass rushes and pressures that they had used the previous two games against Cleveland and Minnesota. Now look, you could argue that Flacco is better than Carson Wentz and Dylan Gabriel, I guess. Although I don't think it was all Flacco, although he did play really well last night. But my point is this, I understand he was getting the ball out in 2.2 seconds every single time.
Yeah.
They not once, at least not often, did I see Jalen Ramsey come in on a pass rush? Did I see Patrick Queen attack the line of scrimmage? Did I see, not once did I see Nick Herbig out on the field at the same time as Watt and Highsmith. I don't think. If it happened, it happened so infrequently that I didn't notice it. It was a standard four-man across the front rush with a zone behind it. Occasionally, they'd match up with a bracket behind a man-on-man with Chase and Higgins, but they never got creative in trying to get to Flacco or at least give him some different looks that weren't easily diagnosable.
I think they felt that the two and a half seconds, it was a waste of time. I don't think that they figured that they were going to be able to get to him. And honestly, you're not going to get to any quarterback in two and a half seconds. And that's probably about the average that he was throwing away. Look at Aaron Rodgers over the past 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, maybe not yesterday, but he was getting rid of the ball quickly because his line wasn't playing well. So
maybe
I think they were just thinking that their players were as good, if not better, than the Bengals' whole as an offense, that eventually that they would just be better than them because they got better players. And
maybe
just never
I'm
happened.
Spoiled by growing up in like the Capers, LeBeau eras of Steelers defense. But even in instances where, other than when they played Brady in the back half of his career, when they would face a quarterback that they knew was going to get a ball out quickly, and they might not be able to get home as often as they wanted to, if at all, they would at the very least disguise how they were bringing pressure and force the quarterback to take an extra half second to diagnose what was happening on the fly, so that in essence, you're not creating more pressure by getting closer physically to the quarterback with your pass rush, but you're creating more pressure in the quarterback snaps the ball and all of a sudden he looks and, oh, that guy dropped, didn't expect that. And now this guy's coming and it takes an extra half second to get rid of the ball. Maybe the Bengals still would have beat him. Maybe Jamar Chase still would have had 16 catches on 23 targets. Maybe Flacco would have still carved them up. But there was nothing creative or different in how they tried to disguise what they were going to be doing. It looked, I saw a couple people say this on social media, and it's absolutely true. It reminded me, it was eerily similar to what we saw, like I said, Tom Brady do over the last half of his career against these defenses, where he knew exactly where everyone was going to be dropping. He knew exactly where his receivers were going, obviously. And all he'd do was just carve up the little seams and the soft spots in the zones.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be giving Flacco a little bit of credit. It's not like he was scanning the field. He was throwing two routes, and he was very accurate at doing them and very on time and in rhythm doing it as well. So that's what really happened there. It's not like I'm just more disappointed they didn't try to switch it up more when you realize – what was happening here? Why don't you play a little bit more press man? I thought this unit was the press man unit. You know, I thought that's what they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I wonder if they got backed off, if they got scared and they backed off because of the flags early on Porter.
Oh, they were complaining about him in the locker room.
I'm sure they were.
They definitely were.
They were all close calls, but when a back judge sees you grab a guy's jersey around his rib cage, there's a good chance he's going to call that. And so there's a difference, though, between what you're talking about, playing press man and getting physical at the line of scrimmage, which
knock him off his route. Especially when you're doing those slants. That slant's all timing.
Yes, we didn't see a lot of that. And so instead, you got tight coverage down the field, but about one out of every five times, it was an interference call, or the ball was caught anyway. The lack of ability to cover Chase and Higgins at any point was disturbing, especially after what they did this offseason when they clearly stated, yeah, we're going to go out and get guys explicitly for this purpose.
Yeah, but they what they're saying is the reason why the back half struggles so much is because those front four weren't doing their job. Those front three, front four, front five, right?
Right.
I mean, Hayward wasn't happy whatsoever. He was blaming everybody basically but himself. I mean, it's Benton. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. It's been a lot of him having issues there, and you saw it yesterday as well. I mean, even when they did bring guys like Chuck Carr, and they did bring him from time to time too, he was not in the right spot whatsoever either. There are a bunch of young guys, but you know, they weren't, they didn't look very young last week or the week before that. And it's not like this offensive line wasn't just god awful either.
That's what I was going to say. So this isn't an all-world offensive line.
That not only that, the both tackles stink. One guard was banged up. The other one, I think, was a rookie, and the center was 150 years old. I mean, your quarterback's 41 or 40 years old. I mean, this is a game you should have been able to dominate. Maybe they were just a little bit too full of himself. Maybe, or better yet, is maybe Tomlin talked in the Joe Flacco aura into existence. I don't know,
but either way, you can't get, if you would have told me before the game Flacco is going to drop back 49 times, I'd have said, okay, Steelers are going to win by how much, how many touchdowns? But that wasn't, Joe Flacco can't drop back 49 times and carve you up the way
and not throw any picks. I mean, I think he's thrown a hell of a lot of picks in the past 5 to 7 years.
I mean, that's the best game from Joe Flacco probably since he was a regular starter.
09,
other than the Indy game last year.
09, 010 games when they were 12-4.
Right.
I mean, he's had some good games there. The late throw that beat Ryan Clark to send him to win the division in Pittsburgh. I mean, he had good games then.
But we're talking about, it's 10 years. 10,
I understand that, ago. But I'm just saying.
It's insane. He had a rebirth thanks to the Steelers' defense.
I'm just trying to think of anybody who played well on defense.
Nobody. Archie's on Carson is a place to watch all the football this weekend. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Wash a taste of that game out of your mouth over the weekend by getting down there to watch Pitt, Penn State, WV, whatever your favorite college team is on Saturday. Watch the NFL games on Sunday. Get a nice cold iron to do so and numb your feelings. And, of course, the menu is fantastic, too. Wing nights, Monday through Thursday, just 80-cent wings. They're just as tasty at the regular price on the weekends, plus sandwiches, burgers, and flatbread pizzas, too. Get down to Archie's on Carson in the South Side. We appreciate Arch supporting the show. This is why people were worried, though. This is why people were very, very much expecting the sky to fall. And there's a lot of the sky is falling or the emperor has no clothes type of stuff.
Yeah.
Today, because if you were pessimistic about the Steelers, especially on defense, you saw exactly why last night. If they can't stop the run, they are completely neutered. You give up 108 yards on just 11 carries to Chase Brown.
He had close to 10 yards
all night.
Almost 10 yards per carry.
Yeah.
For a team that was, I think, last in the NFL in rushing, I think they average right around 50 as a team a game. They haven't done much of anything on the ground here recently. I mean, Chase Brown's a good ball player. I mean, you saw that last year, but he hasn't been playing well this year. I mean, it just pops up every single time, man. And it's just, I mean, it's, you just can't have it. I mean, you can't have stars like Haywood, Highsmith, Watt, Herbig,
Ramsey.
I mean, those guys I'm talking about combined for like 5 tackles. I mean, you just can't have that. I mean, you just can't have Joey Porter taking 2 to 3 penalties again.
Right. And to the point you made earlier, you can't lose the turnover battle if all that's going to happen too. Like you can get away with a less than stellar defensive effort against New England, for example, when you force 5 turnovers. But this is the first game all year they lost the turnover battle, and they got scorched because of it.
I mean, it's just nothing has changed, which makes it so hard. It's the Bengals team was just lying there dead in the weeds. They shouldn't have been able to do what they were able to do here. And honestly, I mean,
well, I will say, I'll give a little credit to Jay Morrison, who we had on yesterday from BengalsTalk.com. He did point out that it was a team that understood how desperate their situation was, that it was basically a must-win game for them. And they played, I mean, they played like it, but you can't play the Bengals without Joe Burrow and without Trey Hendrickson and give up 450 yards of offense and you
know, score seven of the last eight times you touched the ball.
Yeah, it's inexcusable stuff. And now they've got some better teams, obviously, coming in. Green Bay, Indy. They'll have to go play the Chargers after that.
Teams that can run the ball. Exactly. I don't know if Hampton will be back by then, but, I mean, typically Chargers like to run the ball. So we know the Colts like to run the ball. We know Josh Jacobs is pretty good running the ball.
So and I don't – this is what makes people wonder – was it just two bad teams that they capitalized on? I mean, the Vikings with a backup quarterback.
Or was it just a bad game they played against?
That's the other side of the coin. Or was it just they laid an egg? They had a clunker. But you can't that's the reason why people expect this to go no farther than maybe a playoff appearance again.
Which is crazy to me. I mean, it's crazy to me that they're so done. I understand why people are done. I understand the defense, the Bengals, and all that crap. But my goodness, you have to have a little bit of smile on your face, hope in your heart for that offense. You have to.
That I will grant you. The offense did everything other than the two turnovers. The offense did everything that
and
we could
getting
have asked.
Better. I mean, the offensive line's getting better. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's 31. He's rolling out. He's holding the ball for 7 seconds.
Did you see
he's throwing the ball 70 yards down the field?
I was going to say, did you see the next gen stat on the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary? 69.8 air yards, the longest recorded pass attempt in the league in at least 8 years. I kept waiting for it to come down. I was standing there watching, like, where's the ball going to come down? Like the 10 or the 5? No, it was right on the goal line. And I think if DK times his jump a little differently, he may actually have a shot at it.
Yeah, once he dropped back and rolled to the right, I'm like, I said it out loud. I think I've seen this a number of times before, the same exact play. But he played well. I mean, if he throw to DK Metcalf, I don't blame the other pick. That was a good play, and he probably forced it a little bit. Yeah, but I'll take that. I'll take four touchdowns every day of the week.
Oh, I'll take four touchdowns from Rodgers and 127 yards on the ground from Warren. Pat Freiermuth came to life, had a huge game.
Roman Wilson
had a pair of targets and caught both of them. Jonnu Smith was a big part of the offense early when they were rolling. I know some people had some complaints that they got away from the run a little bit. I didn't feel like they got far enough away from it that they forgot what they were doing. They came out for the second half and they went right back to the run.
Yeah. I mean, all three of their tight ends had touchdowns, and they actually threw one to the fourth one. Hayward had a chance to make it fourth. The offensive line's playing a lot better other than, you know, maybe a Broderick. Well, there was three really critical holds or offsides there. I would say that all three of them were.
Well, the McCormick jump is what it is.
I asked him because, I jumped. And I'm like, but, you know, we've seen people jump before.
Right.
Because, but they're keeping an eye on it now. Not if you're the Eagles or not.
Not if you're the Eagles. You're right. Yeah. Billy still gets away with jumps on the touch
push. But Frazier said, man, my hand was inside, and they called me on my hand inside holding. I'm like, isn't that legal, though? You're allowed to lock up inside.
You are.
He goes, I think so.
If you look at the reverse angle, the guy kind of spins around a bit. You can see Zach pull the shirt a little bit. I'm not saying I would ordinarily call that a holding if I were an official, but you see the jersey get tugged and the guy pulled with the jersey just a little bit. That huge crew likes to throw flags.
Yes, and that, you know, honestly, that's what some of the linemen told me. We study the crew. We know they like to throw flags. We knew this was a possibility, but that's a huge play. the Frazier takes 4 points off the board.
Right.
Followed by the McCormick one.
I mean, they could have scored 40 last night, if not for those two.
That's huge. But not only did that take points off the board, it seemed like the momentum it was like a hot balloon just sort of,
yeah.
Ooh, right after that, where they had to settle for three. And that Broderick Jones throw in, I swear to God, that's a legal play. If you dip underneath, you're allowed to hook him. I swear to God, you're allowed to do that.
Well, they ended up scoring right after that anyway. So here nor there.
Well, what I'm saying is the offensive line got called for three penalties, and I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with the offensive line at all, though, penalties included, right? Because like you said, the calls were ticky-tack on the two holds that we're talking about. One was immediately followed by the touchdown pass to Freiermuth on the seam route. And the jump on the tush push is what it is. You got to hold and wait an extra second, and you don't have Rogers cadence back there. I don't even know if anybody calls a cadence in that situation, if Hayward does it, or if they just snap the ball. I no idea. I'd love to know more about how that actually gets pulled off. Yeah. It looked like Darnell Washington literally wanted to pick baby Hayward up though, and throw him over the line, and then realized he couldn't do that.
They already did that later in the game, and Aaron Rodgers didn't appreciate that.
What the hell was Broderick doing?
That is Broderick Jones in a nutshell as a person, like, right there.
If he falls on Rodgers the wrong way there.
He's a little kid. He was just happy.
He was happy.
I probably didn't think, well, maybe I could hurt the guy that just tore his Achilles 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's not thinking of that. He's just happy. Let's celebrate.
But 6-7, don't jump on the 40-year-old quarterback.
I understand that, but I'm just telling you his mentality of a youthful, exuberant kid. And that's what he is. He's 23 years old.
Overall, I had no complaints about the offensive line. They did a phenomenal job of giving Rodgers time to operate. He did a fantastic job of moving around.
And Arthur Smith having another pretty good day calling plays.
We have to temper all of this with it was a Bengals offense without defense without Trey Hendrickson.
It's probably one of the worst defenses you'll ever see.
Right. I don't know how many more defenses on the schedule you're going to be able to do all this.
There was no such thing as pass rush.
There was none at all. And look, I give some credit to the Steelers offensive line for that, sure. I thought they did a really good job of giving Rodgers plenty of room to operate. I mean, he could have had a sandwich back there a couple times. And then he did a great job of adding to it he looks more and more mobile, literally. Yes. I mean, the last two games in the last 5 days, most mobile I've seen him since he was in Green Bay.
And that's why I think that, you can be disappointed about this game, and rightfully so. But in the back of your mind, you have to be thinking, if we could just get this $150 million defense, figure it out and being more consistent, we got something here. Because I think they definitely got something on offense, especially with the quarterback.
Before I ask you this question, I want to thank the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. HeckTeamHomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they will take care of you. HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. Go there, check out all the listings, something that's perfect for you and your family, or just reach out to them via the website, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. The Dan Heck team ready to help you find the perfect home for you and or your family. I don't know how you fix the defense, though, Mark. That's the problem. Because like you said, these are the same issues in run defense that we've been talking about for years.
Is it talent? Is it players? Is it coaching?
Yes.
I don't think it could be both.
I think it could be all of the above. You mentioned Keanu Benton. He had that one play early. That's it.
Yeah, he had the sack, like second play of the game.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. And other than that, Benton just continuing to get pushed around in the run game.
Queen and the other two inside linebackers.
I didn't see Holcomb out there a lot, but Peyton Wilson, I didn't see doing anything.
Holcomb came in midway through, and he didn't do much at all. But, it was all predicated on that front four, front three, front five, or whatever you want to call it, trying to stop the run. So it was mostly that, I think. But they didn't do much. I guess you got to give – I guess you do got to give Deshaun Elliott a pass.
I don't think Elliott played poorly, though. I mean, yeah, I guess you could say everyone played poorly in run support.
That's a tough situation for him. So it's just for him to show up.
I'm still convinced Deshaun Elliott is the second most important guy on that defense next to TJ Watt. Because when he's playing well and he's all over the field, he just makes things happen. He causes chaos for an opposing offense. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. The situation was tough. I think you mentioned he didn't practice the one practice they had. He had a lot, whatever was going on. He had a lot going on, had to race to get there to the game yesterday. So yeah, I'll give Elliott a pass to an extent, but there are 10 other guys out there and not a one of them bathed themselves in glory. Like I said, and then you compound that with, okay, we can see how they're going to attack us. They're going to try and get the ball out quickly. And we can't just go with this standard base defense that we were going to go with most of the night, where we rush four and everybody else drops and we try to man up on Chase and Higgins and play a zone over top of that. Okay, I get it. You're worried about getting burned by Chase and Higgins deep. Well, here comes Andre Yoshivas, and he catches a ball right down the middle. That's where it's on the players and scheme. They came up with no scheme to force Flacco to have to think just an extra half second at any point. It was 1-2-3 out, 1-2-3 out. There was never 1-2-3. Oh, I can't go there. Yeah, and then have to go somewhere else.
If you're putting together a game plan, you're probably not thinking that Joe Flacco is going to be this efficient with his throws either.
Well, then why'd you pitch a freaking fit about him getting traded?
I mean, you could say he's above average, but you wouldn't think it was that. How he played yesterday is like a top 10 quarterback in the league playing.
Well,
I'm not saying he is a top 10 quarterback, but he played like one.
Clearly, Mike Tomlin had his concerns about Joe Flacco. He was pretty clear in stating that over the last week and a half.
Yeah,
Flacco's been on this team for 10 days and looks like he's been playing with Chase and Higgins his entire life.
He even said, I didn't even know some of the play calls. He just thought they were winging it.
And he still scored 33 points on him.
Well, I tell you, is he might have one of his best games in a decade. Sometimes you just can't account for that. But the question is, why can't you make the adjustment of, hey, if this doesn't work, we're going to go to this.
Like
they made one little adjustment early, but then they just stayed with what they had.
It goes back to that Julian Edelman quote from last year, which I'm sure you've seen circulate on social media again today, although you were driving for 5 hours, so you probably didn't look at your phone a lot. It's that same old Julian Edelman quote. Hold on, I'm going to have to find it. I should have pulled it so I could pop it up on the screen, but I want to make sure I get it right. In talking about how the Patriots would plan for the Steelers and just carve them up year after year after year. Where the hell is it? I'm not going to be able to find it now. But he basically said they did the same thing all the time. And we always knew exactly what they were going to do. And they always did exactly what we expected them to do.
Julian Edelman hasn't played in 6 years.
That's even more damning.
Well, that's a different defensive coordinator, right?
And they haven't done anything. Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, anybody. Nobody's done anything, Mark, to come up with some more disguised coverages. Quarterback stand back there like Joe, 40 freaking year old Joe Flacco, and carve them up because they know exactly what the zone's going to look like. They know exactly what to expect from the coverage. They keep an extra blocker or two in, max protect in some instances to keep them clean for an just long enough. Just give me 2.5 seconds because I know exactly what to look for and I know exactly where to put the ball.
Well, they look pretty doggone good against the Vikings. They look pretty doggone good against the Patriots. So
they look good against Wentz and Gabriel.
Now we're like quantifying it with who's a good quarterback and who's a bad quarterback.
Well, Wentz and Gabriel couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
So with Jordan Love, if they do it against Jordan Love, all of a sudden they're a good defense again?
No, I'll be happy that maybe they actually disguise some coverages and force Jordan Love to think for an extra half second and not be able to just get the ball out immediately. That's the most frustrating part of this whole thing for me is that when they're backed into a corner, it reminded me of the end of the Vikings game when Minnesota walked right down the field and Wentz actually was able to get rid of the ball quickly. because they sit back in these soft zone coverages because Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin get scared and they don't want to get beat over the top. And we won't send any exotic pass rushes or blitzes or anything. We'll just sit back and cover everybody. Well, you're not covering everybody. You're giving the quarterback more time to make a decision in some instances. And even when he has to get the ball out quickly, he knows exactly where to go with it because he knows exactly who's coming and who's dropping and where they're going. You're too tired to deal with me being
I just think you're overreacting to a point. It's 5 games into the season.
You're right. It's 5 games. I'm not going to sit here.
Sometimes you have a bad day too. I mean,
many times. So sometimes maybe you have a bad day and get stuck in traffic in Ohio. It happens.
I'm waiting for my first good day.
Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. Halloween specials right now, 15% off any Halloween nails and nail art starting November 1st. Their huge Christmas gift card promotion in store only. If you buy a $100 gift card at Nail Studio 2 out there in Lakeview Square on 19 next to Juniper Grill in McMurray Peters Township, you buy that $100 gift card in store, you'll get a $20 gift card for a future service right along with it. That runs November 1st through the end of the year. You got somebody in your life that wants to get their nails did, get them done at Nail Studio 2. That's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com, where you can book online 24/7 or give them a call, 724-941-4595. Aaron Rodgers kind of backing up the point you were just making that the season is not lost.
A roller coaster, like trying to keep even after, you know, throughout the course of the season.
Well, I think you got to realize, listen, we want to win every game. There needs to be an expectation of winning, but this is a short week, division opponent, anything can happen. Obviously, Joe played really well for them, and Chase and T got going for him. But this is the NFL. You know, we had a chance to really open up some space, but we're 4-2, still first in the division. Got a couple, home games coming up, back-to-back, another Sunday night opportunity against my former team. So, I'm not going to ride the roller coaster, and I know Mike isn't, and hopefully you guys follow suit.
Aaron Rodgers, not a roller coaster fan. Don't know if he did miss the Kennywood trip this year. Maybe there's something behind that. I'm not going to sit here and cry the sky is falling, which a lot of people...
That's all you've been doing for 40 minutes.
No. We just sat here for 15 minutes and talked about how much promise there is in this offense continuing to get better week after week. There's plenty to worry about, but I'm also going to pump the brakes. Give me a complete freaking game.
The Vikings was all but 5 minutes. I just need to see more consistent bad play before I can say this defense stinks.
They
stunk a lot yesterday. Does not mean they will stink. Need to see more stinkage before I'm ready to be all macked in like you.
Is the other side of the coin. I need to see more good from the defense that tells me it wasn't just because they were playing Wentz and Gabriel. That's all I'm saying. Like you just said a couple minutes ago, do this against Jordan Love and the resurrected Daniel Jones over the next 2 weeks, and I'll go, okay, the Bengals game was a blip on the radar. But I got to see that.
Flacco picked them apart.
I mean, you don't find that concerning?
Oh, yeah. Concerning?
Yeah.
I don't get concerned about anything, but, you know, interesting maybe. Let's see how – I just think it's too early to run around with your pants on fire. They still got very talented players that have been very inconsistent in playing beneath of how they should be playing. I'm just saying – let's wait a little bit longer before we just totally write them off and say...
I'm not writing them off.
It sounds like you are.
No, I'm saying it's ridiculous that this defense, 18 years into Mike Tomlin's tenure, continues to be uncreative when backed into a corner and turtle up instead of being aggressive in how they try to do things. You can tell me all you want. He got it out in 2.2. He was getting the ball out quick. Everybody to a man said that last night. TJ said it. Mike Tomlin said it. Everybody, that was the first thing they said. Why couldn't you get to the quarterback tonight? Well, they were getting rid of it pretty quick. Yeah, quarterbacks don't want to hold on to the ball for more than 2.5 seconds because they know they get hit. So figure out a way to force the quarterback to hold on to the ball longer. There's two ways to do that. You get in his face physically, or you present him with something that makes him process for an extra half second at least. They didn't do any of those. That's why I go, man, what are we doing? And the more frustrating part, Mark, to be honest, is that I saw it against Cleveland and Minnesota. I saw Deshaun Elliott come on blitzes. I saw Jalen Ramsey with 2 sacks last week. I saw Patrick Queen on a little bit of a middle crossfire blitz. All the stuff that I used to see when this defense had even an ounce of creativity in it.
Maybe they just didn't have that type of respect for the Browns or the Bengals. I keep saying Browns because Flacco played for him.
Yeah, it's
more recently.
Deep track of
the Bengals. Maybe they just didn't have any respect for him at all until it was a little bit too late.
But when I would imagine they've practiced these concepts because we saw some of them against Cleveland and Minnesota.
Hey, maybe a short week.
So
bothers them too.
Does the little tiny postage stamp play call sheet that Mike Tomlin holds not have something on there that he can call, or he can't just go, hey, let's do some disguised coverages, guys? Remember that thing we did last week against Cleveland, or that thing we did 2 weeks before that in Dublin? Can we not run some of that?
I'm not saying I'm an expert here, but maybe that run game prevented them to be able to do that too. Because if you're just going to bring open some stunts, some crazy exotic blitzes, it's even going to open up the run game a little bit more. I'm not quite sure. They don't like to tell you much. I mean, let me tell you something that happened in the locker room yesterday. Everybody was out of there within 2 minutes. I think the longest interview was 2.5 minutes. They had nothing to say, either didn't want to say it or wasn't going to say it. So it was very difficult to get any legit answers out of anybody. So I don't know. I don't know what really happened here. By the time you do find out, it's going to be on a week removed.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. Check them out on Facebook. Get your furnace checkup scheduled before you got to start running it. It was chilly out there this morning. Some frost
38 tomorrow, buddy. 38 tomorrow morning.
But it's going to be beautiful in the afternoon. Either way, you got to run the furnace, get it checked out before you got to fire it up for the season. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, shoot them a message or give them a call 412-297-1852. Donate any new children's clothing item or toy, and they will knock half the cost off that furnace checkup for you this season. It'll go from $79.99 to $39.99. Again, message them at Impact HVAC PGH. Or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Until they get more creative on defense, like they were much of the Cleveland and Minnesota games, I'm going to wonder if they're not going to just turtle again the next time a quarterback comes in and starts to slice and dice.
What happens if the Freiermuth touchdown ends up being the game winner and the team comes up with a big stop?
That would have required them coming up with that big stop.
Well, if they did come up with a big stop, what would your narrative be today?
I'd still be very concerned that they gave up.
But they came up big when they needed
to. They gave up 30 points to Joe freaking Flacco and 16 catches to Jamar Chase.
Yeah, and that's not half the problem. The 23 targets was more. It 33 targets between he and Higgins?
Yeah. So, look, I'd still have my concerns. I'd feel a whole lot better about them being able to work through those issues because they'd have a 3.5-game lead in the division rather than a 1.5-game lead in the division.
That's what we're overlooking right now. We can talk about all the issues that we saw yesterday of them losing that game defensively, but the biggest thing is they could have went up 4 in the loss department over the entire division, and now – come on back into the program, Cincinnati. Come on back into the race, Baltimore. I think that's where it hurts them the most.
Yeah, because it's a game they should have won. They had that much more talent out on the field than the Bengals. But when you have that much more talent out on the field than the opposition, and you still get sliced and diced the way they did, who's that? Who are we to put the blame for that on?
I'm just wondering if Do you think Burrow would have did the same thing, or did Flacco just had the game of his life? They probably would have did Burrow something different. They probably would have did something different against Burrow. They're probably thinking, yeah, Joe's not going to do anything.
What they the probably hell? Would have figured out a way to disguise some things more. In essence, what they did was say, Flacco beat us. And guess what Joe Flacco did? He beat the hell out of him.
I don't even remember.
Plus, they didn't stop the run again. That's the other part. We keep talking about Flacco carving up.
That's the big part. Once you run the ball, everything else opens up. If you want to be
Brown,
if you want to be worried about something, worry about that run defense.
No, I'm worried about the whole defense.
I'm more worried about the run defense than anything else because it's just the same old bullshite,
yeah,
over and over again. And I'm tired of hearing, like I said,
we've got to be got to have greater gap integrity.
Gap integrity, stay in your lane, mm-hmm. accountability. Jeez, I think freaking Cam Hayward even said we have a standard to hold up, and he named a bunch of people.
He mentioned also, Ziggy Hood.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Ziggy Hood?
Ziggy Hood. Thanks to our friends Corey and everybody at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. You want to get something done? My wife today is upstairs painting the garage door, like the door from the garage into the kitchen, because she wanted to get it done right away for whatever reason. And she's got paint everywhere now. I don't want that. I want professionals to come in and get things done. She just couldn't wait, though, for Higgins to get here because they're busy. And I understand that's good that they're busy. That means lots of people like the work they do. You want to get them in your home, get a free estimate scheduled today. Interior, exterior, they'll do the drywall repair as well. Whether it's your home, you want some fresh curb appeal on that thing, or you got a business, they'll do commercial and industrial as well. Higgins Professional Painting. Go to HigginsProfessional.com to get that free estimate set up, or 412-344-0480. You can give them a call as well. All right.
I know an acquaintance of ours is interested in getting his ceilings painted.
Yeah? Did you tell him who to call?
Well, he's the one who called and asked me about them.
Well, there you go. It all comes together, kaboom. All right, we're going to wrap this one up early because I got to go play Shaboozy, and you got to go hang out with Pony and Muller. And
No, I'm doing it on the freaking Zoom. I can't drive anymore. I can't drive.
Lazy son of a...
I just drove 7, 8, 9, 10, like 15 hours in the past...
How many hours? Like 6, 7?
Yeah, Darnell Washington. In the past... What time? Past 24 hours, I think I drove like 13, 14 hours.
To Cincinnati and back, that's ridiculous.
Oh, it's when it takes you 2 hours to go 18 miles.
True. All right, that's going to do it for this one. We'll be back on Monday, and we'll start to preview the Packers, and we'll also have an old friend on. Audrey Snyder, who covers Penn State football, is going to check in to tell us about the coaching search and where that all goes now with Cignetti.
I know where it doesn't go.
I don't know. Kirk certainly Cignetti, not going to be old Sig, Coach Sig.
Sig did his best Jamie Dixon. Yeah,
that man, you realize 10 years ago, Mark, he was at IUP. He was 54 years old and coaching IUP.
I don't know what this IUP you speak of.
And now he is the third highest paid coach in college football. Let's give it up for Kurt Cignetti staying on his
like
grind.
I said, he's a Jamie Dixon.
Beautiful.
Every year you win a little bit, and all of a sudden, this team wants to hire me. Okay, we'll give you a raise. We'll give you a raise. Franklin was able to master that too, right?
That's the way the game works. So we'll talk to her about the Penn State coaching search. Big guest on Wednesday. We'll keep that a mystery. We'll just sprinkle some
a national guest, right?
Tidbits out there. Yeah. Well, yeah.
He might be a...
He's going to want to talk about the Steelers, though. Definitely.
Yeah. Might be a voter in some kind of awards at the end of the year. We'll see.
He might be. So we'll do that on Wednesday. We'll get you ready for the Packers all week long. Audrey Snyder on Monday to talk to us as well about the Penn State coaching search. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We appreciate you in supporting the show here on Kabali and Mac. Kaboom's going to go take a nap now.